your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. I got to tell you, Dr. John is one of the most interesting people I've spoken with in a long time. Just remember, it's very important during these difficult times. You can't change anybody else. You're not going to change Joe Biden. You're not going to change Donald Trump. All you can do is change yourself and your own attitude. When John's publicist contacted me early in the week, we were talking initially about the difficulties, not the difficulties, that's totally the wrong word to use, the challenges and what you have to be aware of when you're starting your own business. John, you're on. What do you need to know?
You know, I think the first thing, and maybe the only thing, is the starting your own business, is that you want to fail, which sounds weird, but you want to fail early, often, and fast. Because you'll never, right out of the gate, get a home run. You have to iterate and fix it and experiment as you go. And the challenge I see with a lot of people who start a business is that I call them the fragile perfects. They've done everything right in their life, which was never my life. And so I got very used to failing early and often. And so when I started these businesses and failed repeatedly, and I was like, okay, pick yourself up. You know, it's the old Chinese proverb, fall down seven, get up eight. And that to me just made total sense. But to a lot of folks, that fear of failure, of looking foolish, of doing something wrong, paralyzes them to this analysis paralysis mode. And if you can get past that, then almost assuredly you will have some success in a business, provided you've done your homework and you're trying to help, figure out the right solution for the right problem.
Yeah. Let's talk about interest. Now, you own how many small businesses, John?
Well, I've owned probably about 30 different businesses in my career, and a couple of them have been, well north of $100 million, and a lot of them have been in the less than zero to 25 to 30 million range.
John, let's talk about this. How did you decide to get into, let's talk about maybe half a dozen or so of your businesses and how you got into them?
Sure. For pretty much all of them, they were a response to a problem that I saw and that was unaddressed. So I'll give you the first one.
Okay.
I started a business called Next Care Urgent Care. And back in the time in the early 90s when I started it, there weren't any urgent cares around, but working in the emergency department, I thought, well, this is ridiculous. Why would somebody want to see me for something trivial and they're not really that sick? And so I thought, okay, well, let's maybe figure out this thing called urgent care. And so we did that. It grew to really about $100 million in revenue. We were at 60 locations in six or seven states and departed in 2010. So again, saw a problem, try to figure out a solution to it. Another one was a company called Private Autopsy, where I learned someone had died. The questions about that were surrounding their death were unanswered. They wouldn't do an autopsy on the person. And so I hired a bunch of pathologists, and we started going around and basically going around doing private autopsies.
Yeah.
We marketed that business to morticians who told their clientele, their deceased client, their deceased loved ones about the service that they had. Another one was called Slide Smart.
That is fascinating. John, if I can just interrupt you for a second. I happen to have had a couple of very close friends in my past life who were pathologists. One guy was a county coroner, et cetera, et cetera. I have to wonder why none of them never thought of something like that. That is brilliant, doctor.
Well, now there's plenty of them out there, but in the early 90s, people just didn't think that way. But yet people said, well, gosh, I want to know why they died. And the coroner would say, well, they don't really meet criteria, so we're not going to do an autopsy on them.
Right.
But we also had a business called SlideSmart, which was pre-Google, where we sold medical images. We had about 6,000 medical images that we sold online. And you could order them to be downloaded, or we'd send you a 35-millimeter slide to put in the slide carousel. So if you're a medical student or college student doing research or a lecture, we have tons of different medical images that we'd sell for, I think, $4.95 a slide.
Right.
And again, pre-Google, but, it worked and we were able to sell that. I mentioned VMD, which was a virtual medicine business, started in 2010. We had about 5 million subscribers when we sold it to Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, John. What compelled you, obviously, to become as monetarily successful as you obviously are? Just most people, when they're walking down the street, they feel sorry for themselves. They're wondering, God doesn't like me. What's going on? Why can't I be like the man in the mansion living up on the hill, etc., etc.? How did you break through that attitude? Because that's a very prevalent attitude, Johnny, in our society.
There is a speech that Theodore Roosevelt gave in 1917 at the Sorbonne, and it's one that I'm sure a lot of folks know. It was called The Man in the Arena. And I remember reading that thinking, I would rather be that man in the arena who's covered with dust and blood and sweat and struggles and survived, and even if I failed, at least I failed while daring greatly. And I thought, I'd rather be that person than the person that felt sorry for myself. And I'll give you a quick example.
Yep.
One time ago when I was a resident, there was a gentleman who came in and he was clearly dying. He was doing do not resuscitate, but he was awake and he knew he was dying. And I remember looking at his face and he had this look on his face. It was just this infinite sadness sort of look. It's almost hard to describe and it kind of chokes me up thinking about it. And I remember thinking, I know what he's thinking. This is the if only look. And I think he was going back to his life and saying, if only I had, and then whatever.
Right.
I thought, I will be damned if I'm going to have that look on my face when I'm lying on my deathbed. There's that old saying, the definition of hell is while on your deathbed you meet the person you could have become.
Right.
I'm still afraid of that. And so that really propelled me and continues to propel me to not waste this fantastic life that we have without trying to be that person in the arena.
John, I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. You and I, believe it or not, have an awful lot in common. I started my business, which was not a radio show. It was a consulting business. The radio show just happened to come along in the mid-1990s. Just out of the blue, I had never planned to do radio. I switched over to doing my radio show in about probably full-time in the late 1990s. You have to, number one, take advantage of opportunities that you see as they come along, and come hell or high water, you have to not let, as they say, the bastards get you down. You have to have a positive attitude. John, got to take a break for the top of the hour news here really quickly. I want to tell you, I want to get you back on the show as soon as we possibly can. You're an interesting man. You can teach people an awful lot about life. Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.